Such a privilege and joy to worship with you this morning, church family, to put Jesus Christ in the center, to focus on Him, to worship Him, and now to have the opportunity to go to His Word. As we read earlier, the law of the Lord is perfect. No person is, but the law of the Lord is perfect. And so we pray now. In fact, let us pray. Holy Spirit, would you open our eyes to see wonderful things in your law? Would you open our ears to hear what you have to say? And open our hands to respond in worship and in service for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if you have ever watched an episode of Judge Judy. Some of us love her, right? I think I've probably watched two episodes, and that would have been a long time ago. But that show went for 25 years with over 6,200 individual episodes, and the replays are still going and almost as popular as the original. And one of the things that draws people to it is the voice of authority and wisdom in that courtroom. And you hear it right away. Here are some of the sayings that came out from her more than once. I'm speaking, when my mouth moves, yours stops. Sit on your hands. I'm the boss, applesauce. This is my courtroom. When we listen to a judge, we want justice. We want an authoritative voice. And I think that's what is attractive, particularly to some who spoke most loudly, right? But there's a problem. Even Judge Judy is not a perfectly just voice and should not be a perfectly authoritative voice, neither you nor I or anyone else. The next verses that we have in James tell us about that. James chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. Brothers and sisters, do not slander anyone. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? So the theme here is pretty clear. James doesn't mince words. It's not very complicated. He is telling us that speaking against or judging another person is a manifestation of the pride that God resists. We just read about it. Most of the time, the best thing that we can do is humble ourselves and let God be the judge. There are some problems, though, because the Bible takes sin seriously. We've talked about it before and we'll continue to talk about it. We must take sin seriously. There are strong calls to repentance throughout Scripture. And so how do we balance that? Don't judge, but take sin seriously. So the first thing that I believe we would do well to do is look at the big picture throughout Scripture and ask ourselves the question, are we dealing with contradictions here? And I'm just going to talk about a couple of places in Scripture where juxtaposed seem to be two opposite views on this question. First is in Matthew 7, the passage that is familiar to almost all of us if we have been in the church for any amount of time, the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you." But then just a few verses later, He says to the crowd, watch out for false prophets, talks about that and says, by their fruit you will recognize them. Don't judge, but watch out and recognize. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and then chapters 5 and 6 give us a similar complicated question. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4, my conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, you Corinthians, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. He ends that chapter very shortly after these verses, and then in chapter 5 starts out talking about a blatant and awful sin that is taking place in the church and says, for my part, even though I am not physically present with you, I am with you in spirit. As one who is present with you in this way, I have already passed judgment in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ on the one who has been doing this. And then we have the book of James. I mean, James pulls no punches. We've mentioned this several times as we've been going through. He calls out moral filth and prevalent evil. He points out in the church self-deception, favoritism, fake faith, sins of the tongue, double-mindedness. He calls them lawbreakers, spiritual adulterers, and sinners. But then at the same time, he says mercy triumphs over judgment. In these verses, he says, do not speak against or judge each other. In chapter 5, we'll get to where he says, don't grumble against any brother or sister. So what's going on here? We could probably spend a very long time on this, but we'll just briefly consider the idea that Scripture presents to us both what it means to live together as the body of Christ, in particular when there is sin, and what's going on in our own heart in those circumstances. So body life, particularly in light of sin, and then our own personal responsibility for what's going on in our heart. Scripture is clear that the church needs to care for those who have fallen in sin for their own good. And so we have things like Matthew chapter 18, where Jesus walks us through the steps of restoration for someone who is falling. And that involves sometimes calling out sin. We have 1 Corinthians 5 and 6, where Paul says, it's right there. Don't you see it? Pass judgment on it. He is calling the church to recognize, to call out, and to address sin in a way that is healing and restorative. Probably the verses that bring these into balance best, at least in my mind, are Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Listen to the calling out of sin, the purpose of restoration there, and the heart of those involved. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently, but watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else, for each one should carry their own load. What Paul is telling us, what Jesus is telling us, I believe the testimony of Scripture as a whole, is that sin must be confronted, restoration must take place, and that needs to be done with love and gentleness. with the purpose of restoration in mind. We're not aiming for justice or condemnation. We're aiming for brotherhood and sisterhood. And we do so with love and with humility. We don't know the heart of the individual. Did you hear Paul say that in 1 Corinthians chapter 4? God alone will reveal the motives of the heart. You address the sin that is taking place. We don't know the motives of the heart, and so that requires great humility on our part and special attention to our own selves, to our heart, and care that we not fall into sin. And so the personal approach in this calls us to look out for the best interest of others, to care for them, to do so with a sober view of self and in great humility. So I hope that that helps us to provide some context for these verses in James within the larger context where he pulls no punches as he addresses the issues within the congregation, but then calls the believers not to speak illy or to judge each other. As we look through those verses, and in fact, I've been talking long enough, I want to read them again for you. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? So in these verses, we see four different problems with a condemning or judgmental attitude towards a brother or sister. And the very first one is found in those words. James here switches from the strong language of you adulterers and you sinners back to the gentle language of brothers and sisters. The problem with judging is that it goes against the fact that we are children of God, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Jesus Christ with equal standing at the foot of the cross. Personal attacks and judging is not brotherly. That's been the theme of chapters 3 and 4 as a whole, where he talks about the tongue and the sins of the tongue, and where he talks about conflicts that can take a place among the believers. He calls out curses, he calls out bitterness, he calls out words that are rooted in envy and that actually are killing words, cutting words. The commentators largely agree that when James says, don't speak against a brother or sister here, of course he's talking about not making up stories and spreading false rumors, but that he is actually also talking about true speech that is outside of context. He calls us away from talking about one another and calls us to bringing things to the Lord. James knows just as well as the rest of us. Judging somebody actually feels pretty good, doesn't it? It allows a little bit of self-promotion. Hey, remember the Pharisee? At least I'm not like that guy, right? Lord, I thank you that I'm not that guy. The attitude can creep into our prayers and can creep into our prayer requests. It allows us to get ahead in a spiritual sense, or maybe even in an ambition sense, to accomplish goals and ends that we have in the mind. But in the end, personal attacks and judging is not edifying. James starts this paragraph saying, brothers and sisters, ends this paragraph saying, who are you to judge your neighbor? He is drawing our attention to the community, and the testimony of the entire New Testament is that we should speak what builds up the community. Therefore, we must flee from destructive language and attitudes. So the first problem with judging is that it goes against the fact that we are the children of God and brothers and sisters in Christ. Second problem with judging that we see here is that it goes against the law of love. James goes on to say, don't speak against or judge. When you do that, you speak against and you judge the law. This is another reference to the law that we find in James. It was in chapter 1, it was in chapter 2. It is constantly on his mind. And as we went through those previous chapters, one of the things that we saw is that he is referring to what we would refer, what we know as the Old Testament law, but that he is then placing it under Christ and really saying that the law is the law that Christ gave us. So, for example, as he has been talking throughout the book, we see that the book of James is almost a commentary on Leviticus, and in particular, Leviticus 19. Read through Leviticus 19, you find commands against favoritism, you find commands about how to treat the poor among you and the stranger, you find commands about not cursing, about not holding back wages, which is the very first verses of chapter 5. In only two verses, Leviticus 19, right in the middle, he says, do not slander, do not murder, do not hate your brother or sister in your heart. And then the next verse, he brings it all back to the law of love. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so in chapter 2, when he talks about the law, he leads to the royal law, the law of the king, of the kingdom, the law of Jesus. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. James talks about the law a lot, but when it comes down to it, he is referring to the law of love and everything else summed up in the law of love, and of course, wants us to understand if we speak against or judge a brother or sister, we are not practicing the law of love. Therefore, we are speaking against and judging the law itself. This attitude that can creep into our heart is a violation of the brotherhood and sisterhood that we share in Christ and a violation of the law of love. And also goes against the need for humility that James has talked about so carefully. The next words he says, when you do this, you are not a doer of the law. In other words, you are not submitting yourself to the law. Rather, you are judging the law. In other words, you are placing yourself over the law. You are deciding who the law applies to and who the law doesn't to. You are making yourself the arbiter of truth, which is the exact opposite of the humility that we are called for. In chapter 3, James said, who is wise and understanding among you? Let it be seen in the humility that comes from wisdom. He calls for humble repentance and for waiting on God's reward. But judgment is placing ourselves over someone or something. Judgment is putting ourselves in a higher position rather than in a lower position. Paul also said, don't think of ourselves more highly than we ought. This is a theme throughout Scripture and one that we constantly, that we do well to constantly be aware of and painfully be aware of. Didn't have it in my notes, but we just read it earlier in the service. Who can discern their own heart? A couple of verses that I do have in my notes. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond all cure. Who can understand it? Who can know the heart? Now, it's real nice if we think about somebody else's heart. Man, That heart, deceitful, beyond all cure. Who can understand it? Jeremiah is talking about his own heart. We're called to look at this verse and understand that we cannot plumb, we cannot fathom the depths of our own hearts. We cannot trust our emotions, desires, motivations, our evaluations of ourself, never mind someone else, are fundamentally untrustworthy. Our evaluations of ourself, never mind somebody else, are fundamentally untrustworthy. Now, someone might say, okay, but that's Jeremiah, that's Old Testament. What about the new heart? Let's go back to Paul. Paul, the apostle. 1 Corinthians 4:4, we've already talked about it. My conscience is clear, Paul says, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. In these verses, he has rejected other people's judgment of himself, but he doesn't even trust his own judgment of himself. God is the only one who can discern the heart. And so James here speaks against any kind of judgmental speech. And he calls us to judge ourselves as truly as possible. 1 Corinthians 11, he actually says those words. If we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged by the Lord. So when James says, don't speak against and don't judge, he's not primarily concerned about a breach of truth, but a breach of humility. And is calling us to constantly question ourselves. The fourth problem is that speaking against and judging puts us in the place of God. That's the ultimate problem. In fact, every sin ultimately comes down to putting ourselves in the place of God. Isn't that what happened in Genesis chapter 3 in the garden? Isn't that the voice of the deceiver all the time? God might have said that, but you can do this. James says, there is only one lawgiver and judge. But you. Who are you? When we pass judgment or condemn others in our own heart, we are appointing ourselves to a position over them. We are putting ourselves above the human situation, putting ourselves above the law, putting ourselves above God's evaluation, putting ourselves above the human situation, and taking God's prerogative in the matter. He is the lawgiver and judge. He is the one who can look at the law and look at me and make an evaluation. And guess what? I fall short. He is the one who can then save or condemn. That concept came out in all of those scriptures that we read previously. Whether it's Jesus or Paul or James, they're saying the same things. God alone is the one who can judge. God alone is the one who knows the heart. God is the alone is the one who is just in all of these matters. And he sees that we do the same things that we are condemning someone else for or judging someone else for. And if we put ourselves in his place, then all of those speakers in Scripture, inspired by the Holy Spirit,
warn us of being judged in the same way. On top of that, he sees that we have violated the whole law. Again, in James chapter 2, it was pointed out for us so very clearly, Tom, when you broke the law at one point, you broke the whole law. And God is the one who has the power to condemn or to save. James 2:12 reminds us of this. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Then, alleluia, mercy triumphs over judgment. Here's the good news for every single one of us. God has the power to condemn or the power to save, and guess what he chose to do? To save. To pour out mercy and grace at great personal expense. Every one of us equally guilty before the law and deserving his condemnation justly poured out on us, and every one of our sins placed on Jesus Christ, and every drop of his precious blood shed for our forgiveness and received by everyone who places their faith in him. Hallelujah. God is the lawgiver and judge, the one who can save or condemn. And he chose to save. And then James naturally asked the question, so then you, who are you to judge your neighbor? As usual, throughout James, the heart is the issue. We can't know our own heart or judge others' hearts. Most of the time, the very best thing we can do is watch out for ourselves, shut up about others, and trust God, who is righteous and just and holy, whose knowledge is perfect, and whose grace and mercy towards us is unending. Two examples of this from the life of the church. We don't actually know what the issue was in the book of James. It certainly seems that all of these sins of the tongue and the quarrels and fighting and these things that he's talking about are addressing a real situation in the churches to which he is writing. But he doesn't tell us what the situation is. He simply tells us how to live in any situation. But there is an example, very clear example, in Scripture, and it has to do with food. Now, this doesn't matter to us a whole lot. Most of us feel maximum freedom, in fact, maybe too much freedom, in eating whatever it is that we want. But in the early church, and not just in one church, in just about all of the churches, there was a hot issue about whether you should eat certain kinds of food or not, based on Old Testament laws of purification. Should you avoid certain foods or not? Should you avoid meat that perhaps had been sacrificed to an idol or not? Very strong opinions on both sides of the issues. Very hot conversations about the topic. I'm not going to comment on this, just going to read Romans chapter 14, the first part of it. But listen throughout about these four things we talked about. Listen about what it means to be a brother or sister in Christ. Listen to what it means to practice humility before each other. Listen to what it means to exercise the law of love and to allow God to be in his place. Romans 14, 1 through 13. Accept the one whose faith is weak without quarreling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not. And the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does, for God has accepted them. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand or fall. And they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. One person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God. And whoever abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God. So then, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. That passage is replete with the very things that James is talking about and the very things that Jesus is talking about, and Paul as well. So then here's another example. And we're not going to go into all of the fine points about this one either. But how about music? I've never read about it in the scriptures in the sense of it being an issue among the churches, but it certainly historically has been an issue in many churches. It's a conversation that we're having. You saw my email yesterday. We've got those chairs. They might have helped. The tables might have helped. In the context of having any conversation, including this one, those four principles must be at play. First of all, my brother or sister is more important than music or any other issue that we are talking about. And that applies to those who are any side. Sometimes we say there's two sides of an issue. Let me tell you, there are hundreds of us and hundreds of sides to any particular issue. But no matter where we are, we have to recognize our brothers or sisters are more important than music. Every single person involved in these conversations has poured their lives, their time, their energy, even their finances, sacrificing for the building up of the body, for the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only one reason that any of us in the last 50 years of the history of Calvary Alliance Church has poured ourselves into the life of the church, and that is because we love Jesus and we love the body of Christ. And so the type of thing that is beautiful to hear in any conversation is, I am so grateful for my brother or for my sister, even if I disagree. And I've heard that, and it's beautiful to hear. My brother or my sister is more important than my opinion. Second, the law of love. How do we exercise the law of love when it comes to disputable matters like meat or music or anything else? By not asking ourselves the question, is that person loving me like I want? But rather, am I loving that person like Jesus does? Making them more important than me, sacrificing myself for their sake. And so corresponding words that are just beautiful to hear. I wish things were different, but I know that there are others who have a different opinion. Third one, humility. And in my mind, this is personal, probably the most important thing in just about every issue that comes up. Not deciding what's going on in somebody else's heart, not judging what's going on in somebody else's heart, but rather being very careful about what's going on in my own. Our tendency, of course, is to assume the best about ourselves and to give ourselves all kinds of grace based on the circumstances or whatever it might be, and to assume the worst about what's going on in somebody else's heart and no grace. And we're called to flip that on the other side because we probably shouldn't assume the best about ourselves based on the things that we've seen in Scripture. And we do very well to assume the best about other people. And so the words that are just so beautiful to hear, actually two different ones. One is, I could be wrong, but I think, and voicing our opinion. And the other is, so-and-so loves Jesus so much. I don't understand their perspective, but I trust their heart. How well we do to say those things in our work relationships, in our marriages, in our families, in our church relationships, and even out in the world. So-and-so loves Jesus so much. I don't understand their perspective, but I trust their heart. And then the final one, let God be God. Trust God. He is the Lord of the church. He will get the glory. We can leave that up to Him. Now, this is still a body. We need to have conversations about body life. It's important that we talk about things. But we need to talk through these issues and act on any particular issue in our own life or in our body life with a recognition of who our brothers and sisters are, who we are before God, what it means to live out the law of love, and what it means to trust God. So, when we're feeling judgy, happens to me more than I like to admit. When we're feeling judgy, look inside first. Oh, if people only knew what's actually going inside sometimes, it's so much worse than you think, right? And so God, who knows the heart, is merciful towards me, and I need to fall on His mercy. Look inside first and be grateful for the judgment that God has made, which is to be gracious and to give life. Pray for myself first, in whatever the situation might be. That I would be honest about myself, humble before others, and be on guard against the danger of falling into the same things that I fear I see. Second, see the brother or sister before the problem and value them. Love them and recognize their love. Care for them and recognize their care. And if there is a need in their life, if I really can look and see, wow, there's a need there. That's not a place for judgment or condemnation. That is a place to meet the need, to serve the individual. And following what James has to say here, along with not judging, not broadcasting. So that's the third point. Most of the time, just shut up. You know, not all the time, though. Sometimes there are things that need to be talked about. And so the fourth one, if a brother or sister needs help, This is why we have a church family. This is why we've got to be able to talk about things. You've got to be able to talk with me. I've got to be able to talk with you. We have to be able to talk with each other. If a brother or sister needs help, go to them in humility and in love. Seek restoration. Follow through on what Jesus has commanded the church. And in everything, fifth thing, let God be God. Thank the Lord. In a world where we long for justice, but where we need mercy, there is one lawgiver and judge, and he has chosen to demonstrate his love for us in Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, what can we do but fall at your knees . Express our gratitude for your mercy. Thank you that you know my heart perfectly. You know our hearts perfectly. And you love. Thank you that you are constantly working for our sanctification. Thank you that in every circumstance, you promise without fail for those who love you and are called according to your purpose, you are working in us the beautiful and perfect character of Jesus Christ. And that you are undeniably working towards our glorification. Thank you for the day that we will see Jesus and be like him, for we will see him as he really is. And thank you that in the meantime, your grace never runs out. Your mercy is always sufficient. Your love towards us is immeasurable. Lord, we invite you by your Holy Spirit, who is called the finger of God. We invite you to stir our hearts and our minds, to mess with our contentment and self-satisfaction, to point out to us our shortcomings, to convict us of sin, to apply the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, and then to help us to live that out in our relationships with each other. We so desperately need you, and we are so deeply grateful for all that you have done for us in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.